Thank you, Phil. Yes, I will be sharing with you the findings from the 2008 NIS data. The first half of that year, we fielded the socioeconomic status module, and I will be sharing with you the findings from that. This module included some new demographic questions, questions on family living conditions, maternal employment experiences, and experiences in access to childhood immunization services. These data were analyzed to identify which, if any, of the new variables were associated with childhood vaccination coverage. Okay, this is not moving, all right. Okay, a little of the background. Published NIS reports in the MMWR over the past few years have shown persistent racial and poverty disparities in childhood vaccination, with the exception of 2005, when we reported for the first time that racial disparity was eliminated. However, that was proven to be perhaps an anomaly, as the following year we were faced again with data that showed the disparity had persisted. Our reports today continue to show racial disparities, but we now believe that these disparities are due to differences in household income across racial and ethnic groups, and we have found that these are accounted for when we adjust for poverty status. A similar finding was reported a few years earlier using the 2003 data, which was the motivation for developing the SES module. Our working group was formed in 2004 to develop the content of that module, and the final module was fielded in January through June of 2008. The NIS is an ongoing list-assisted random digit dial telephone survey of households with children aged 19 to 35 months. The telephone survey is followed by a mail survey to the children's immunization providers. The mail survey provides information such as the types and dates of vaccinations administered to the children and some information about their providers. The data are then weighted to account for non-telephone households and provider non-response. For the 2008 sample, the response rate was 63.2% and included children born in January through January 2005 through June 2007. The analysis presented today were based on data collected in January through June, which is what I mentioned earlier, using the SES module. The data were analyzed using Sudan software, which takes into account the survey's complex sampling design. Tests of significance were conducted first to identify factors significantly associated with vaccination at a p-value of 0.1, and then using backwards elimination in logistic regression to identify which of these factors were independently associated with vaccination coverage at a p-value of 0.05. The final models were used to evaluate the effects of these factors on vaccination coverage across racial and ethnic groups. The 431-331 vaccine series was used to estimate vaccination coverage. Analyses were based on a sample size of 7,159 children with adequate provider-reported vaccination histories. This slide shows vaccination coverage rates by race, ethnicity, and poverty status among children in this subsample. Black children and children who lived below poverty were least likely to be vaccinated compared to other children. These next several few slides that I will show you will show which variables were statistically associated with childhood vaccination. The second column shows the p-value produced in our bivariate analysis of each variable. Those that had a p-value of less than 0.1 were included in the multivariate models to determine if they would remain significant after the other variables were controlled for. Race, ethnicity, and poverty variables were included in all of the multivariate models to determine if their associations with vaccination coverage were dependent or could be affected by these other factors. Now, this slide looks at the demographic variables that we examined. Maternal marital status, identification of the household member with the highest level of education, and U.S. ancestry were not associated with vaccination coverage. The ID, identification of the household member with the highest level of education, was either the father, the mother, both parents, or some other member of the household. U.S. ancestry was based on citizenship of the child's maternal grandparents, whether they were born in the United States or someplace else, as a measure of assimilation in the U.S. culture. But health insurance was the only demographic factor to be independently associated with vaccination coverage when these other variables were controlled for. The association between poverty level and vaccination coverage was not significant after adjusting for health insurance. This next table looks at employment conditions of the mother at the time of the survey. If employed, mothers were asked questions about their employment conditions. Of the four variables examined, only one, number of paid leave days, was shown to be independently associated with vaccination coverage when the other variables, employment condition variables, were controlled for. This table looks at family living conditions of the child. Among the variables listed, those that were independently associated with vaccination coverage included the number of times the family had moved since the child's birth, whether the child attended daycare, and whether someone in the household had been unemployed for more than 2 weeks. The association between poverty level and vaccination coverage was not significant after adjusting for these factors. While our bivariate analysis did not show an association between race, ethnicity, and vaccination coverage, we were able to see an association in our multivariate analysis when these other factors were controlled for. The coverage rate for Hispanic children increased 2 percentage points to 82%. Coverage increased 1 percentage point to 75% for black children, but it decreased 1 percentage point to 77% for white children with these adjustments. Now, this table looks at parental experiences in accessing childhood immunization services. Among the variables listed, the factors that were independently associated with vaccination coverage were whether their parent had to cancel an appointment for the child, whether they had to wait long in the exam room for the doctor, and whether they had refused or delayed giving the child one of the recommended vaccines. The association between poverty level and vaccination coverage was not significant after adjusting for these factors. However, our analysis did show an association between race, ethnicity, and vaccination coverage following these adjustments. In the last four slides, there were seven factors that were identified as independent predictors of vaccination. These seven factors were examined in this final model of all children. Of the seven factors, having someone in the household who was unemployed for more than 2 weeks was not a predictor when all these other factors were accounted for. The association between poverty level and vaccination coverage was also not significant, but our association between race, ethnicity, and vaccination coverage was a significant. Now, since the number of paid leave days was determined to be an independent predictor among children of working mothers, it was included in this separate model for working mothers along with the seven independent factors determined earlier. When paid leave days was added to this model, only two of the other variables remain to be predictors. Among children of working mothers, the number of paid leave days, number of times moved since the child's birth, and whether the parent had refused or delayed one of the recommended childhood vaccines were independent predictors of vaccination when the other factors were accounted for. Now, this graph shows the change in vaccination rates among children of working mothers when these three variables were adjusted for. Among the three largest racial and ethnic groups, the greatest increase was observed among Black children, whose rate increased 6 percentage points from 73% to 79%. The rate among Hispanic children increased 5 percentage points. Some limitations about this study. Children whose providers did not report vaccination histories may differ from children whose providers did report vaccination histories. This could result in our underestimating vaccination coverage among the different subgroups. The decision of which variables to group together was determined on face validity alone. Variables were clustered in the unique constructs if they looked like they belonged together. For example, health insurance was placed in the demographic models because it seemed to fit best there. NIS is a landline telephone survey, and statistical adjustments may not have been adequate to fully compensate for non-coverage of households without telephones and non-response, so some coverage bias might still remain. In conclusion, among the demographic factors examined, health insurance may be the single most important predictor of childhood vaccination coverage. Therefore, we should increase our efforts to ensure that all children have access to health insurance that pays for childhood vaccinations. None of the new demographic factors that we added to the NIS was proven to be useful in predicting vaccination coverage. Among the family living condition variables, daycare attendance and limiting the number of times moved since the child's birth were shown to increase the likelihood that children were vaccinated by the recommended age. The family that moves after the birth of the child may temporarily disrupt access to a medical home, thus reducing the likelihood that the child is fully vaccinated. Children in families that have had to cancel a doctor's appointment or to have delayed one of the recommended vaccines are less likely to be vaccinated. This may be due to vaccine scheduling of when and where to get vaccinated. It was also interesting to find that children whose parents reported experiencing long waits of more than 30 minutes in an examination room were less likely to be vaccinated than other children. This may be due to busy practices or using practices with large patient populations and not enough public health providers. Finally, children of working mothers are more likely to be vaccinated if mothers have more flexibility in the workplace, namely through access to a liberal leave policy that would allow them to take time off from work with pay if needed. If they did not feel the need to delay giving their children a particular vaccine, or are able to maintain some type of stability in the home until the child reaches 3 years of age. This would reduce record scattering and the practice of using multiple providers in the first 3 years of a child's life. According to these data, we could increase vaccination coverage across all race groups while at the same time eliminating racial and poverty disparities among this population. But as we all know, these are major hurdles and will require some new strategies to better serve working mothers. These findings show that there is no silver bullet to eliminating racial and poverty disparities in vaccination coverage. Any of the factors that we observed here are all predictors of vaccination, but these will require some research to figure out the most appropriate way to use them for new strategies. These data confirm that there are many factors to consider in increasing coverage among all children. For those who desire to vaccinate their children, we need to figure out how to make it easier for these families to carry out their decisions to vaccinate their children. Before I end, I would like to acknowledge all of those who participated in the development of the SES module, which began in 2004. And I also would like to acknowledge the NIS Operations Working Group, which includes our contractor NORC that actually fills the NIS for us, and Chen Li, who assisted me in the analysis of these data. Okay, I'm going backwards. Okay. Okay, and this is my contact information. And I do have some handouts that I will make available afterwards if anyone is interested. Thank you.
Karen, this is a really good question. I think that data is pretty interesting.